world famous Phil Henry Show here, the final hour of this night of nights, this night of a few small items of technical misfeasance, but we've powered through all of it and happy to be with you. We're going to bring Brass Villanueva back on, as well as probably mostly Vernon Dozier this evening, because Brass held forth in the first hour ad nauseum on the topic of the Washington Redskins and their name, and I imagine he's also landed by now.
Yeah, he's there. Matt Cray's jet. Yeah.
Who in the hell is Matt Cray, anyway?
Well, he's got High Blue Records.
You've never heard of High Blue Records?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's an entrepreneurial effort, an independent label, as so many of them are. Matt is he spots a lot of talent, a lot of hip-hop talent, young rap and R&B talent. Like so many of our young recording moguls, has at least, if not his own jet, charters this one quite frequently.
And they're on their way to D.C. to argue the whole Redskin thing.
Well, I don't know if that's really why they're flying the jet back to D.C. tonight. It probably is just one big flying party, for all I know. But I would think that Brass Villanueva should consider himself very fortunate to be on board that party express tonight. I'd say that.
Yeah, and you're probably popping bottle and everything.
Yeah, he already said that, popping bottles. So,
well, yeah, but I mean, they're probably going to go back and say, hey, that Redskin name is bad.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, look, I got a perspective on it. I've heard myself. I don't even want to hear myself anymore on the topic. And people, either they get it or they don't. I don't know. I'm not saying that all names are bad. Some people get a little ridiculous. You know, they're talking about how, if you don't like the name Redskin, what about calling people Dodgers? Why, do you understand the people of Brooklyn? That makes them sound like a bunch of idiots. Trolley dodging. You know, like, who even knows?
What?
Yeah, that's what the term Dodger means. I don't know.
What about the name that I don't get is the Browns? That's one that's next on the list. Yeah, what about that?
What about that? That's a very curious name.
The Browns were named after Paul Brown.
Well,
no, not well anything. They were named after Paul Brown, who was their first coach, and I think he was an original owner of the team. Why, what's your point?
Well, and that may well be the case. But today, calling a team the Browns represents something extremely specific, and that is skin color. If not, you know, I think you all know what I mean.
I do, yeah.
No, I don't. What?
Well,
the Browns.
Okay, you know, there's a commercial on TV, by the way, for UPS. Go Brown.
Well, and I don't like that either.
You don't like it? Why? Because it sounds scatological? Or because it's about race?
What do you mean by scatological? I know what you mean by scatological, but I'm asking what do you mean by scatological, so you'll have to define it.
Yes, I know you're saying that. Margaret, crap, in other words.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. If you're going to call a guy Brown.
So what is it, bud? You don't like the name Brown because they're calling some guy the color of crap, or because it's the skin color, or what is it that you don't like about Browns? I told you that the team was named after the coach.
Yeah, I believe you, Mr. Ray, was named after the coach, but today, the meanings change.
Yes, meanings morph over time, Phil. Maybe a few years ago it was about Paul Brown. Today, it's about the color of something that drops out of it.
Yeah, here we go again with you whispering. You and everybody else in the show that whispers, say it if you mean it.
The back end of a cow? Is that what you want me to say?
That's what you were going to say. Every night, man, it's something with you guys talking about. You're offended by things, but you're the first ones to start yapping about it. You know, you're the first ones to bring it up. You're offended by Brown, but hey, you know what it's about? It's about something that drops into the ass end of a cow, and it could be a guy's skin color. And
not skim color, skin color.
I said skin.
No, you didn't. You said skim, as in skim milk.
Skin color. So is that it? Is that your big play tonight, huh? So if they're going to change the name of the Redskins, why not change the name of the Browns? Is that it?
That's not my thing, although I would say, to be fair.
Yeah, we have to look at this objectively.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So if they're going to change the name of the Redskins, let's start hassling the Browns. Here's a good one. How about the Ravens? I mean, those poor Ravens. Why would they want to be compared to a football team?
Don't be asinine, Phil.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, don't be stupid and everything about a bird.
Well, why? Why am I being stupid?
Birds don't have constitutional right. Only a human being does.
There you go. Bingo. I was trying to figure out what it was, and that's it. Birds don't have constitutional rights.
You were trying to figure it out, huh? Took you a while, huh?
Can't you figure it out, huh? What is your problem?
Well, how long did it take you to figure that one out?
Robert said it, and I said, yes, there it is.
You didn't understand right off the bat that Raven represented a bird which has no constitutional rights, which is just a dumb animal. You had to wait for Robert to bring it up so you could really, really get your thoughts focused, huh?
Oh, well, excuse. I didn't know I was sitting with Bertrand Russell here, one of the great minds. What a...
Yeah, Mr. Henry, quit lording it over and pretending like you're all smart and stuff.
So I'm not as quick as you.
How quick do you have to be? Are you guys crazy or something? I'm giving her crap about something a third grader ought to be able to figure that out.
A third grader? A third grader knows that a raven doesn't have constitutional rights? You really know how to insult women, Phil. That's the thing I know. You've got a peculiar talent for insulting and degrading women, even as they love you.
Oh, there she goes.
Yeah, here I go.
Yeah, she just admitted she loves you.
Not in love, you pervert.
You really know how to degrade women, Phil, even as they love you. Boy, spoken like a real drama queen, I gotta tell you.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, go into the bathroom and close the door, Margaret, if you're gonna use the... Anyway, world-famous Phil Henry Show, let's get back on task here and talk with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. We thank you very much, Vernon, for rejoining us here as we discuss the Redskin team name. As I understand it, from my close personal friend Matt back in D.C., since we are without internet communication or access tonight, Vernon, we're hearing things sort of word of mouth that there is going to be a big meeting between the NFL owners, Mr. Snyder. I have to believe that commissioner will be there. What do you think is going to be discussed?
I think what's going to be discussed is the changing the name of the Washington Redskins to some other name. Now, and by the way, you left out the Oneida Nation, which is the Native American nation, the Native American coalition, because a nation, the Oneida Nation represents many tribes and subsets of tribes that have allied with the Oneida tribe to create a political presence, one that's going to benefit the native people of that part of the country. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're all Oneida Indians. Having said that, there's a substantial number of native people who are given to want to hear this, to see this name change. I would simply say to them, and you know, at this point, we don't have any leverage. Those of us who are opposed to this name change.
Now, yes, so you are opposed to it.
I am, but I'm opposed to it not because I'm a racist. Far from it, Phil. I'm a teacher, and I am a. But I'm a former football player, and I'm a football coach, and I love sport, and I love the tradition and the culture of sport. And at this point, looking at this Redskin debate, I recognize that we are running out of time. My side of the debate's running out of time. We're running out of friends. We're fresh out of friends on this one, and we're running out of time, and we're really running out of any real feasible position to argue. More and more people, I mean, there was a point when I heard Daniel Snyder say, hey, there's no way, I thought, he's my kind of guy. You know, there's a guy, there's a man that's going to stand up. Now it looks like he's going to go soft on us. So you almost know what some women feel on a, I don't know, on a Saturday or Friday night when her man's had too much to drink, and you're laying there and you're like, "Is this? So this is it, huh?" Well, that's how I feel. I feel like Daniel. Well, I don't want to say that.
Yeah, it's going to sound a little gay.
No, you're right. I shouldn't say, but I'm just I can't help but feel a little bit betrayed by him going limp. I mean, not limp, but you know.
No, I understand what you're saying.
I just want to say I didn't mean to bring up the comparison with a, you know, an erection.
No, I understand. I get it. Okay, it's fine. So you are feeling a bit betrayed by Daniel Snyder. Now that's his team.
Well, it's his team because he bought it. But there's some things you can't buy with money. I think we all know this, especially when it comes to sports. And I think Art Modell found that, God rest his soul, when he moved the Baltimore Ravens to Baltimore. When he moved the original Cleveland Browns to Baltimore, he couldn't take that team name and that team colors with him. I'm going a little too fast here. I guess the theme on your show tonight is alcohol, and I have to admit I have had a couple of beers myself. Art Modell took the team to Baltimore and had to rename them.
No, your point is very well made. The traditions among sports fans are particularly powerful, and I've said this before, and I think that this is something that the American sports fan should hear, and those who are in ownership should hear. You know, and I don't think it's any secret to people who have money and travel in the moneyed circles of sport, but the, for instance, English football or soccer fan has a great deal of say in whether or not their teams move, where they move, whether they take the colors with them, whether they take the team records with them. They are. That's a formidable lobby that anyone who owns a team, a football team, i.e. soccer team in England, or anywhere in the world, I would think, but particularly in England, the United Kingdom, I should say. I mean, you got to put up with, you have to deal with, man, fans. They are formidable. You can't ignore them. If you try to, you're going to be living with a whole lot of bad press and bad publicity. And there are innumerable examples of that down through the years. Here in the United States, fans don't usually rise up and defend themselves or speak on behalf of themselves too often. The rare time, example, the Cleveland Browns, and maybe there have been other examples, but I, to be honest with you, not in my life, I've never seen any team leave a city and be forced to leave the colors and the team records and the team name behind until I saw the Baltimore, the you know, then Cleveland Browns, now Baltimore Ravens, do that.
Well, it stands as a testament to the guts and to the determination of the people of Cleveland, the football fans of Cleveland. And I watched that happen. You watched it happen. The whole world stood back and had their mouth hanging open, their jaw hanging agape, and watching as Cleveland said, "You can take your team and you can move it to hell." You know, you can be the first NFL franchise at the gates of hell, but you are not taking the team colors and the name. And boy, I tell you, I remember wishing that I was with them. And again, Phil, that film comes to mind that you've often mentioned.
I got to take a break here, but go ahead.
All right, but I just want to say that line from Robert Ryan in The Wild Bunch, when I saw the Cleveland Browns fans hold on to those colors and those records, I remember thinking, boy, those are men. And what have I got with me? Nothing but egg-sucking, chicken-stealing gutter trash.
And who are you referring to?
Just everyone else, just my friends.
All right, we'll be right back here.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's an emotional topic. World famous Phil Henry Show, and we're running a little late for our break here. We'll be right back. 855-500-7445 online at philhenryshow.com. Tonight we've had some internet connection problems, but we'll be back at it, baby. Good rock and roll coming up. World famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show back here in our final hour as we discuss here on this night of no internet. And I only say that because we do have subscribers, BSPs that have been without the video cast. And we will have, however, tomorrow our podcast. It'll be online and ready for you tomorrow morning, podcast of the show. So don't fret about that. Vernon Dozier joining us from Glendale, California, as we discuss the name change of the Washington Redskins. I know it's something that the people who are fans of the Skins and fans of the name, or just really fans of the tradition, I don't know that anybody is married to the damn name so much as people don't like the idea of having to change the name of something given the history and the tradition. I don't think... I have to be honest here. I don't know that those who want the name to stay the same are necessarily the horrid, rotten, rabid, rope-waving Klansmen that we might think. But then again, you know, I've heard it said that the benign racist, the neighborhood good neighbor racist, is probably much, much worse. Your thoughts on that, Vernon?
Well, my thoughts on that. You know, if you're, I don't certainly want to be called a racist. Yeah.
No. I'm not saying that. I mean, but do you kind of know where I'm coming from?
I think people want to say, well, you know, I know you think you're a good man, but really deep down, and I know you're not saying this, Phil, but I think your people say, I know you're a good man, but deep down you're nothing but swamp running, tree climbing, white trash, you know, and no, I'm not. I mean, I'm an educated man. The whole reason why I don't want the name changed is because of the fact that I would rather there not be a rift in the traditional line of you know, it's like you were saying, Phil. Where are we going to stop with the Browns? Are you going to change the name? Because you just gave me an idea. If they force the Redskins to change their name, I will petition the National Football League to have the Browns change their name, because I think that's not only racist, but I think it is an insult to the players saying that they're brown. You know, maybe.
Yeah, but they're not. There's some white players.
No, but I'm saying if even the white players, you're saying you're no better than, you know, brown, something that a dog leaves on a sidewalk, you know.
Well, I mean, that's just, you're going to get laughed right out of any venue you bring that up in.
Oh, really? Am I? I mean, look at what we've got here now. You take a look at the side of the Washington Redskin helmet. That is a proud symbol. That is a symbol of a Native American warrior. That's not a cartoon. That's not the, that isn't that grinning, stupid clown. You remember the Cleveland Indian, do you remember the Cleveland Indian logo, Phil?
Yes, I do. That big, grinning, idiotic, wasn't that it?
Yeah, it was either that or the Atlanta Braves had a stupid-ass looking grinning, one of the two had a grinning Indian, and it was an insult, and I could understand any Native person saying, you've got me looking like some sort of a clown, a Ringling Brothers clown. I mean, you know, we took it to General Custer, ask him whether I'm some smiley face, step and fetch it. Engine. You ask General Custer, and let's see what he says. Oh, I'm sorry, he's dead. See? So.
No, I totally understand. And the Redskin logo, the helmet logo that they use, it is, at least from what I can tell, I've never seen it up close, but it is, it looks like it's a proud, and I guess everything would be fantastic, even if you called them the Warriors, as opposed to the Redskins.
The Warriors? There's already a team called the Warriors, and they're a basketball team. Wow.
All right, well, what difference does it make?
Yeah, this is different. I mean, there's the Giants. What about that, Vernon, the Giants?
What about the Giants?
Well, there's a baseball Giants, and there's a football Giants. So?
Yeah, and I have to tell you, that makes me laugh, too. I laugh every time I hear about the Giants. I mean, it's not so bad now, because the Giants in baseball play in San Francisco, and the Giants in football play in New York. But when they were in the same town, can you imagine how funny that must have been? I would have, if I'd lived in New York in those days, I would have laughed myself incontinent. I mean, I would have lost control. Every day I'd get up and laugh. Every day.
At what?
Yeah, what are you going to laugh at?
What am I going to laugh at? I'm going to laugh at the fact that I'm going to open up the sports page, and it's going to say the Giants won 3-2. Oh, really? Was that the football Giants or the baseball Giants? I guess I got to look at the picture, and then, you see what I'm saying?
Well, not really. I mean, it doesn't seem that goofy, but I don't know.
It doesn't seem that. We got no right at all to start ripping into the Canadians because they had two teams called the Rough Riders. Well, we have the Giants. You know,
Well, okay. Rip it into the Canadians about what?
They got two teams up there called the Rough Riders.
Well, they used to. One of them folded.
One of them folded?
Yeah. One of them folded, so they only have one Rough Rider.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Oh, Mike, are you... If he says that's what she said, I swear to God...
Well, I heard somebody say earlier in the show, if you tee him up, I'll hit him out.
Are we having a discussion here about something serious like this team name, or are we going to start teeing them up again?
If you say that's what she said, I am walking off this show once and for all.
If Mr. Henry teed it up, okay?
I didn't tee anything up. I said there's only one Rough Rider left. And you said, or were about to say, that's what she said.
Because there it was.
Yeah, you sort of teed it up.
All right. If I hear that phrase one more time, I'll walk off the show. Margaret's walking off the show. That means you two dimbulbs.
That's not so bad. You two guys, I could give you a hand. I mean, I'm not anywhere near the studio.
No, don't even worry about it, okay? We're talking to Vernon Dozier here. We're discussing the name change of the Redskins, the possible name change of the Redskins. Let's go to a phone call. Paul in Bakersfield. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Paul, go ahead.
Hi, Vernon. This is Paul. I'm in Oildale, California, and I want to say that I'm with you on this. I think that the Redskins should keep their name, and I think that that Daniel Snyder should show a little bit of backbone, the same kind of backbone that George Preston Marshall showed when he had the team. Now, George Preston Marshall, a lot of people will say, was a racist, but and that may well be, but at least he knew how to run the team the way he wanted to run the team, and they made them sing Dixie at the training camp, and it was Marshall saying, this is the way it's going to be, and I wondered if you wanted to comment on that.
I think you make a good point, George Preston Marshall. He was no one to be fooled with. He knew exactly what he wanted to do, and he did it. And
all right, we got to take a break. We'll hold on to those comments and take them under advisement and all that other good stuff. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What does that mean, take them under advisement?
I just realized we're running late here for the break. Vernon, hang on. Paul, you hang on. Margaret, you hang on. Bud, you hang on. You hang on.
And yeah, and none of that...
That's what she said.
We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Welcome back here. Vernon Dozier with us. We also have our caller Paul on the line as we continue discussing here this Washington Redskin name change. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I'll just tell him, Vernon, that I agreed with what he was saying, and I hope that the Washington Redskins, you were mentioning George Preston Marshall. I mentioned George Preston Marshall, and I just want to say that I thought he was a guy with backbone.
No, yeah, that's exactly right, Paul. George Preston Marshall did have a great deal of backbone. He is a guy that some people think was a bigot. That may well be. I don't know. What I do know is that he ran that team the way he wanted to run that team. Nowadays, of course, you can't do that. You got the federal government telling you how to do things.
Do you disagree in the equal employment opportunity laws? Do you disagree that those laws? That are designed to keep people from discriminating against a job applicant on the basis of race.
I mean, you're not talking, when you say a job applicant, are you telling me that the Washington Redskins, excuse me for a minute, Washington Redskins were supposed to interview white running backs as well as black, or black instead of white? I don't understand.
Yeah, you do, Vernon. You know, you're a high school teacher, and...
you gotta let Vernon say what he's gonna say, Phil, instead of... all you talk show hosts are the same.
Yeah, well, there you go, Paul. Hold on for a minute. I'm sorry. I apologize, gentlemen. I've got a problem breathing tonight. I think it's from all of the... just the bull crap in the air.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, because I was listening to the program myself, and it was hard for me to breathe, you know?
Well, if you guys are having a hard time breathing, maybe you ought to go out and take a step outside and get some air.
Oh, wow, is that... You're asking me to go outside?
Oh, did you hear that, Vernon? He...
Take it easy, Paul, I got it. You're asking me to step outside.
No, I'm not asking you to step outside.
Hold on, Bill, I've got an allergy, do you mind?
No, I don't.
You sound like you could use maybe some Mucinex or something like that.
I'm okay. Oh God. Hey baby, give me one of those. Give me one of those cream sodas, huh? Give me a cream soda, will you? I'm sorry, Phil. I got a allergy. Seems to be acting up tonight. But what I'm saying is, look, I know you don't want to fight me or anything, but you said take a step outside.
Well, I'm saying, if you're having a hard time with all the bullcrap, I don't know what... If you're talking about bullcrap, I'm listening to it being shoveled just as much on your side of this debate as on any side of the debate.
Look at Phil. There's no... I'm talking straight, you know?
Yeah, see the meat is running, saying the straight stuff.
I got it, Paul. Hold on. I'm talking straight, okay? I'm saying that the tradition of the Washington Redskins should remain the tradition. And I think let's play down the whole racial aspect of Redskin. Let's just say the Washington Redskins, but that's it. Everything else has Washington on it. Just say go, or call them the Skins. And you don't have to say red, pink, white, blue. They're Skins. Everyone has skin.
Yeah, and that's right there. You know, everybody has skin.
Look at Paul. I've got it, man. You're going to keep on talking like that.
All right, Paul, I guess Vernon doesn't want to talk to you, okay?
Okay, I understand.
Okay, boy, the guy was rather enthusiastic. I would think you'd enjoy the support.
I do enjoy the support until the guy starts butting in every time. He's like... he sounded to me like a guy who was recovering from a stroke. Is that... That's the best you can do? Those are the people that are supporting me tonight? Guys that are recovering from strokes?
No, that's not what the guy... Did he sound okay when he called, Bud?
Yeah, sounded fine.
that's coming from a guy with a plate in his head, but, you know.
Well, you know, there's no need to you said something that I thought was very forthcoming and very honest, and I'd like you to comment on this. By the way, McAuliffe is beating Cuccinelli in Virginia 51% to 39.
And you said that to stick it in, huh?
Yeah, I did, as a matter of fact. Yeah, he's kicking his ass. Kicking his ass. This guy Cuccinelli, well, the problem with Cuccinelli, he's got that lieutenant governor who's about as brain dead as they get, this guy that's running. This guy Cuccinelli has got this dumbass who's running for vice,
Vice governor? It's called lieutenant governor.
Wow.
All right, lieutenant.
I mean, come on, Phil.
Lieutenant governor who's got some kooky ideas. All right, go ahead.
What I was saying was that it's obvious to me that we're going to lose this fight. There's absolutely no doubt we're going to lose the fight. The Redskins are going to change their name unless we get some help. And all I'm asking is that when they do win this debate, which it looks like they're going to, is that they not do the victory dance all up and down our backs. You know, there's a few of us that did stand tall and proud to hold on to the Redskin name, and we're going to lose. There's no question we're going to lose. Daniel Snyder is going to lose, those of us who are traditionalists. And I would hope that those that win the debate, yourself, Mr. Hendry, and all of these, you know, the Oneida Nation, all these people, this kid who was flying back tonight on that hip-hop rap guy's airplane, all you people, that you don't do your victory dance up and down my back and then roll me over, and I think you know where I'm going with this, and then start doing a victory dance in one specific part of my body until they're nothing but jelly. And that's what I worry about.
Well, so you're worried about being emasculated. Is that it?
No, that's not it. It's something a little bit more basic. You want to do a victory dance on me, on my face, on my blank, roll me over, do a little victory dance on my neck. That's what I'm worried about.
What are you worried about? Say it again.
I think I'm being clear.
No, you're not being clear. Doing a victory dance, not literally on your body.
No, not literally. I mean, doing a victory dance all over my reputation and all over my manhood. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, it's going to happen. It happens. We tend to celebrate when we win, and we tend to get kind of cross and cranky when we lose. It's the way it is. It's the way our world works. Good luck to you, Vernon. I hope that, you know, I hope that things are going to work out for you, man. But I agree with you. It is a fight that you're going to lose.
Yeah, and then you come on with this whole news about Cuccinelli. So my side of the culture war, to use Bill, with a guy who does that Fox News show.
Bill O'Reilly?
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly. To use his word, culture war, I'm getting my ass handed to me. So feel good about it, Mr. Hendry. Feel good.
All right. Well, Vernon, thank you very much. Vernon Dozier. I just saw Bill Maher, not to change the subject too radically, Bill Maher is on Pierce. By the way, I thought Pierce Morgan got canned or something.
Yeah, he's supposed to be canned. I don't know what he's doing up there.
Yeah, we want me to call up CNN and find out?
No, you don't have to call CNN and find out. I don't.
Well, I think that what they're doing is they're letting Pierce have a few more weeks so that he doesn't go off with his tail shoved between his legs, you know, so that there's a little bit of dignity.
Well, he's on with Bill Maher, and Bill Maher said, and I quote, "This country's in decline." Now, I just want to make this statement because I believe this very firmly. Whenever a guy makes a statement like that, he is officially an old man. You can make all the comments you want about old this, old that, age this, age that. You know, Lou Reed just passed on. He was 71 years of age, and there are people half and one quarter his age that wish that they could be one-tenth as cool as him. So I don't know what people are talking about. But Maher sounds like a cranky old creep when he says the country's in decline. And
well, why do you think that sounds cranky and old?
Because I'm getting, frankly, as a student of history, do you want to know how many times people have said that the country is in decline? Do you want to know how many times people have said that the country is in the throes of demon liquor, and the country is in decline because look what's happened to our southern culture? You know, there was that, and then the country's in decline because women. Can you believe that women are traveling on their own outside of the country, and they're in the cities, and the country's in decline because of all this jazz? And the country's in decline because all the race. The country's been in decline since the country started, okay? And I wonder if Maher is aware of just how much of a cranky old creep it makes him sound like.
Yeah, Bill Maher heard you say that. He'd rip you.
All right, maybe he would rip me. I mean, Bill Maher is good, but I mean, come on, man. I thought the guy was a comic. He's coming on here with all that stuff. Like to make a guy just want to kill himself with that kind of bummed out, depressing claptrap. So
when did you get into this McAuliffe race?
What, the Virginia race?
Yes.
Because my friend Barry Louise is working on behalf of him.
Oh, now I understand she met Bill Clinton.
Yes, she did. Barry Louise working for the McAuliffe campaign, and she had she sat down and talked to former President Clinton, and she said it was fantastic. She said that he's a very gracious guy. He was talking. She was concerned about the Tea Party and was talking to him about that. And
what did he say?
Well, she didn't get into it, and I don't blame her. She didn't have enough time, and she was just texting me this. But he said to her, ultimately, just keep working hard, and things are going to be good. But
I just thought what Bill Maher said, the pot issue, the Republicans can own that.
I don't care what Bill Maher says. What, is Bill Maher all upset now because Democrats are what? Because Democrats believe in defending the Constitution? Well, I don't know what his problem is. I could give a damn, okay? Let's take a break here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Well, I'm not blowing you off, Margaret.
Well, I just think there's some interesting things he's saying.
He ain't said anything interesting. Look at this, Bill Maher versus feminism. Bill Maher's turning into Rush Limbaugh. Good for him. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And like I said, tonight we had our internet issues. We'll be back online tomorrow. And don't forget that you can download a podcast of tonight's show as well at philhendryshow.com. World famous Phil Hendry Show. On Thanksgiving Day, I'm going to be hanging with Jimmy Pardo and the crew. The Partathon is an annual event Jimmy Pardo runs on his internet radio show. I want to say that Jimmy has a podcast, and he does, but he's also live. I think he has a live internet show. Nonetheless, the Partathon, which is live and will be happening on Thanksgiving Day, I will be a part of it. I'm very, very proud to be a part of the Partathon. So that's going to be cool. That'll be happening Thanksgiving Day. And then January 26th, we're at the San Francisco Sketch Fest, and that is going to be a rollout, the very first rollout of our one-man show. So people that have been asking me and giving me a hard time.
Well, a lot of people have been waiting for this, Phil, because you've been talking about it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's rolling out on January the 26th. January 26th, it gives us 3 months to think of something to do. I'm kidding. January 26th, it's going to be at the San Francisco Sketch Fest. We'll give you details on where that is and the specific time it starts and stuff like that.
About like transportation and everything.
What do you mean transportation?
Well, they have a tram? Yeah, they usually have a tram and everything.
A tram? For what?
For with from the parking lot to the event.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, who knows? No, probably not. You know, what do you think? People are going to turn out by the millions to see me? I mean, it's going to be in a moderately sized theater. I think you'll be able to park your car and walk to it without too much trouble, you know.
Yeah, so if there's, but in case there should be a tram.
I'm sure they'll have a tram if it gets too crowded, you know.
Yeah, I think, Mr. Annie, that maybe there will be enough people who they'll need a tram.
Because if they have to take a tram and there isn't one.
All right, I'll ask them, will there be a tram? I doubt it sincerely. The only time I've ever been to an event where I got to take a tram was the L.A. Open Golf Tournament. I think that's about it, you know.
Well, what about, like, some Hollywood parties, things like that?
Yeah. You go to a Hollywood party, you probably got to take a tram.
No, you don't have to take a tram. To what? To a party?
Yeah, like at a guy's house.
No. No.
What about when you had your 50th?
Hey, are you guys trying to piss me off or something?
No. What about when you had... You had a big party for your 50th, right?
Yeah, and everybody parked on the street and walked up to the house, so...
Probably should have had a valet park. A lot of them had the valet parking, but I understand.
The valet parking. All right, so that's that. And we're also... Well, we had a, as I've been referencing this evening, a problem with our internet. Now, I have been told... Now, where we are, our studios, are on Channel Islands Beach here at the El Pacifico in California, on the coast of California. And we're here in a windswept, it's a beautiful area. I mean, we've got a gorgeous ocean, a beautiful beach. And when the fall and winter months hit, man, we get tons of wind. And like most of California, in the wintertime, we got a lot of rain. I'm told that the lines, the fiber optic or whatever the hell they are, leading out to this particular business district are old and have degraded, you know.
Now, who told you that?
That was the text that I just got from our crew. They said that the people at the you know, Time Warner said that they're old and degraded. I don't know. And I have to tell you that I'm not impressed at all with the way the internet age has rolled out in terms of just basic service. It's about as sloppy as the old age of electrical service. And here's what I mean by that. And I don't think I'm being, you know, too overboard. When you have a when you have a utility, let's say, or you have a tool that is over 100 years old and has been in public use for over 100 years, over 100, it would seem to me that you would by now have developed some systems, some protocols, some platforms, whatever you want to call them, that would ensure that if you have an outage, it's not one that lasts very long, and it is one that is of minor inconvenience, and that everybody is fully supported, and you don't have to... for instance, if you want to run your damn air conditioning, run your air conditioning. I understand that it costs a lot of money. If that guy wants to spend that amount of money for air conditioning, let him. But to have the entire system collapse, as it often does because of use, to me, tells me one thing. It tells me that these guys aren't as good as, let's say, some government systems. Do you think, for instance, if we have a need at the level of national security or at the level of national defense, do you think it's anywhere near as constantly failing as this is?
Well, we don't know that, do we? We do know that many people have warned us that our national security is compromised at times because of the systems.
Yeah, well, and then we find out the truth, don't we? We find out, we go to war, and we find out what the real truth is. We go out and kick everybody's ass, and it takes about a half hour to do it.
Not Iraq.
Well, Iraq was Iraq was bad strategy, man. It had nothing to do with that we didn't have the weapons. It had nothing to do with we didn't have the tools. It had nothing to do with that we didn't have the guns and the bombs and the equipment to do it with. It was about strategy. It had nothing at all to do with the readiness of the tools and the ability of the troops. This was just strategy. I'm talking about just the tools, man, just the infrastructure. This stuff ain't working. Same thing here with the internet. Same thing with cable. You guys are hitting it out of the park about the way your compatriots over there on the electrical side. It's okay. It ain't knocking anybody's socks off. It's fine. It's something we have to put up with rather than something that we celebrate. Wouldn't you rather have customers that say, hey, man, I got Time Warner. I love them. How many people do you think say that? I got news for you. How about hardly any?
Well, sometimes... You don't say it, man. Like, nobody says it.
No one says, yeah, man, my Time Warner, I love them. I hear people say that about DirecTV, and if you think that people don't have product loyalty, I give you Harley Davidson, okay? I give you, speak of the devil, the National Football League. There's all kinds of products, all kinds of commodities, all kinds of services that people pay for that they love, that they absolutely embrace and love, and for generations they've had their arms and their legs wrapped around it, man. You think they do it with a cable company? Forget it.
Well, but it's slightly different, Phil. Cable companies are given the monopoly, you know, on people's services.
Okay, and so you would think that they would look to deserve that. You think they would say, because I have a monopoly on this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to prove to people how good we are, that this isn't just a matter of having some pals at the county commission. This isn't a matter of paying off the right people. This is where we really deserve it. Let's show everybody what we got. Not these guys. And I'm telling you, it's Comcast, it's Time Warner, it's all of them. All the way on down the line, they all just do the bare minimum. And I got news for you. You walk into the Time Warner office here in the Caneo Valley western part of L.A. County, eastern part of Ventura County, walk into their office and take a look at what a dump it is. I mean, honest to God, you would think for the bread they get, it would look like one of those personal services banks. You know, the ones you walk into there in Beverly Hills?
Well, I know that Frank and I bank at a place where the teller sits at a desk and we can get up and walk We can go into the safe and...
You can go into the safe?
Well, not go into the safe.
No, I know what you're talking about. I've seen banks like that. Yeah, you know, you don't walk up to a teller. You sit down at the desk and, oh, well, can we get you a cup of coffee? Oh, it's a beautiful thing. And you'd swear to God the bread that these cats get, man, that'd be exactly the way their office looks. I walked into the Time Warner office here, and you might as well be walking into your average DMV someplace. Not even that nice. So, I don't know.
Well, good luck getting good service now, Phil, because if anybody from Time Warner heard this...
Oh, give me a break. If they're going to hold that against me...
They'll probably hold it against you if they heard it. Then you'll be lucky.
Well, we'll see. We'll be here tomorrow night, folks, and those of you that are listening on radio who usually watch the video cast, I'm going to tell you something. Just you watch, man. If we're here tomorrow night and we've got internet service and we're on the video cast and it's just as swimmingly bitching as it could possibly be, then you'll know that Time Warner ain't holding it against me, man. You know. But I doubt it. World famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. Thanks a lot, Matt, Margaret Gray here, Bud Dickman here, Robert Leonard here, and me here, and you there. And we'll see you guys tomorrow night, as I say, 7 o'clock Pacific. And like I say, if we are online with our video cast, then Time Warner, you've proven yourself at least to that level with me. And by the way, that won't be all that I'm going to be expecting from you guys.
Well, what else do you want? Or don't say it.
That's what she said.